message this morning is I love my church because we grow and change. And it's such a great thing to be able to do that, to grow and to change and to continually get closer to God. But not only that, but to look more like God and to live more like God and to find out what it means to serve like God. And I'm thankful for that this morning. In Haggai chapter 2, it says in verse 3, it says, "Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing?" And what's taken place here is basically Solomon's temple had been torn down. It was destroyed. And the Lord had commanded they're building a temple. They're rebuilding this temple. And as they're doing this, they're about a month into the work right now. And they didn't have a whole lot to work with. And they were trying to build this temple up and put it back together. And Solomon's temple was adorned with all kinds of jewels. And it was an amazing sight to see. And as Haggai comes to him, and he asks him, says, "Who's left among you that saw this temple in its former glory? Who here remembers what it was like?" It had only been about 66 years or so since that temple was gone. So there was a chance that there were people here that remembered what the old temple used to look like. There were people there that remembered all the glory and all the greatness of it, and they were able to see that. And so now they see this new building going up, this new temple. And he says, "Who among you remembers this? And what do you see now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it's nothing? This new temple don't amount to anything. It's not as great as the old one. It's not as nice as the old one. It doesn't have all the adornment the old one had. There's nothing in this new temple that's even remotely close to being as nice as the old one used to be." And we sometimes in our lives, we begin to look at how we live and what's going on, and we can remember maybe if you grew up in church how it used to be. And you remember the way things used to be and the way things used to take place. And we think, man, this is nothing like it used to be. I, for one, I'm thankful because I see as I grow and as I continue to mature in Christ that I'm growing closer to Him and we're changing the way sometimes that we do things. And this is not just necessarily a physical change with buildings, and it's not just a physical change with the style and the way that we do worship or the way that we conduct services. But I'm glad that in my own personal life we continue to grow. And these people were seeing this and they were looking at a physical building and saying, you know what? This is nothing like it used to be. It's not as great, and we're not going to get to what it used to be like. But God is able to take this stuff and to take the new thing and to change it and make it even better. We look at ourselves and we think, man, if I start serving God and if I start living for Him, I'm not going to be as great as I used to be. We think highly of ourselves. And we think we're something. If I start serving God, what's this humbleness we talk about? And what about that meekness and all that kind of stuff and doing to others and if somebody does wrong, turn the other cheek and, listen, I'm not doing that. And we start thinking, I'm not going to be the person that I am. I'm not going to be as great as I am right now. That's the point. You're not going to be the same person. You're not going to live the same life. You're not going to act the same way. Because when we become a new creature in Christ, we're just that. We're new. God comes in, He renews us. When Christ enters into our heart and He takes away that sin, He begins to renew us and change us and make us something that's even greater than what we could have ever imagined. And we have to be willing to allow Him to work through us and to do that. But we can't be looking back worrying about how we used to be and what life could have been or what life used to be like. In their eyes, this temple wasn't going to be anything. And in their eyes, this temple wasn't going to be very great. Ecclesiastes 7:10, it says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For thou hast not inquired wisely concerning this." We don't need to look back and worry about what used to be. Our eyes need to be focused forward and looking towards God. Our eyes need to be looking forward and focused towards the Lord and Him building us up and us becoming more like Him and growing in His image. Randy had mentioned a few weeks back in one of his sermons, but if we're not changing and growing, there's something wrong. And he used the example of a small baby. If that child's not growing, that child's not getting bigger, and something's not changing in their life, then we're running into the doctor because there's a problem going on. There's something physically wrong there that this child's not getting any bigger. And we as Christians, when we stop growing, when we stop growing in the Lord, when we stop changing in God and our image becoming more and more like His image, there's something wrong. We need to take a step back and look at our lives and see what it is that we need to be doing in order to become more and more like Christ. It becomes so easy, and we get too comfortable sometimes with the stuff that we're used to. We're afraid of change. We're afraid of different. We're afraid of something that isn't what we're used to. Good example. A lot of folks, especially if you grew up in church, you're very familiar with some stories in the Bible. Adam and Eve, let's talk about it all day long. I know that story. Or we'll move on and we'll talk about Noah's Ark. And we can kind of tell that story and understand a little bit of that. Or we'll talk about Jonah and the whale, or the story of Job, or you know, and we can go on and on and look at all these different things. And then we start getting brave and we can talk about Christ's birth. And when we feel like we've really got real deep into everything, we're ready to discuss the crucifixion and the resurrection. And that's as deep as our understanding of Christ goes. And yeah, that's good. But there's so much more to God. And there's so much more to understanding His Word. And there's so much more. And we understand those stories and we know those things from the Bible because we've been taught those things from the time we were a little child. We've heard those things from the time we were very small, and so they make sense to us. And because we've heard them over and over again, we know them. And we're scared to step out into something else. But I'll tell you a secret. When you start reading the Bible and studying God's Word, and you start reading other stuff over and over, it becomes just as easy to us as the story of Adam and Eve. It'll become just as easy as a story of Jesus Christ's birth into this world. It'll become just as easy as a story of Noah's Ark and Daniel and the lion's den. It becomes just as easy because we grow and we're changing and we're maturing and we're becoming understanding more and more of God's Word. You know, we still understand, we'll still know it. Just because we grow and change doesn't mean God's Word's changing. But we begin to understand it better. We begin to have a better knowledge of it. And it's not a way that we're just stuck doing the same old thing. God expects us to grow and be in His image, to be like Him. We were created in His image, and we are to be more and more like Him every day. You know, we're going to start looking different, and we're going to act different, and we're going to live our lives differently as we grow in Christ. This temple they were working on didn't look like the old temple used to look like. But that wasn't a problem. There's nothing wrong with that. The temple didn't look different. You know, when we become Christians and start serving Christ, we're no longer self-serving. We're no longer concerned about, man, I used to be so great. Man, I could do so much stuff and I could live, you know, my life was so great. I've done this and I've done that. And you know, all these things that we thought we had, we realize we have more freedom in Christ than we ever did before. We have so much more living through Christ. We have so much more when God begins to live in our lives and begins to create us and mold us and move in our life than what we ever could have had on our own. Because on our own, we're nothing. And when we begin to live our lives and we think that we're doing something great, what happens when things fall out? Where do we go to? What happens when we start struggling and having trouble? If you don't have Christ in your life, you have nowhere to turn. God is the one that's able to control it all. God is the one that's able to move us and to allow us to continue to grow in Him. He's able to use us for His glory. As they were building this temple in verses 6 and 7, He says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts." God is telling them, you know, this temple doesn't look like it used to look. And some of you remember how great it used to be, and maybe you're worried about it because you're not, you know, it's not the way it used to be, and it's not the way it should have been in your mind. He said, but the time's going to come, and I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, and I'm going to shake the land and the sea, and I'm going to shake, you know, everything, all nations, and the desire of all nations are going to come, and I'm going to fill this house with glory. When we begin to allow God to work and move in our lives, He's able to take us and fill us with glory. He's able to use us for His glory. But we have to be willing to allow Him to change us and to make us into something that's usable to Him. You're not going to change yourself and say, you know what, as long as I get things right, God, I'll serve You. As soon as I get my life fixed up, because you can't fix it up. You can't change it and make it better so that God is able to use you. He's the one that created us. He's the one that made us, and He's the one that is able to change us so that we can be used for His glory. He's telling them here, I'm going to absolutely just shake this world. I'm going to rock it, and I'll bring glory to this place. And when God begins working in our lives, He will rock your world. He will absolutely shake it up. He will absolutely take it and make it something that you never could have imagined. Well, that scares me. I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if I can do that. Yeah, when God begins working, you're able to do a lot of stuff you never thought you could do. When we finally allow God in our lives and we start trying to do things our way, and we allow God to move and do it His way, man, there's things we can do that we never thought we'd ever be able to do. There's things that you'll want to do that you never thought you'd want to do. There's things that, you know, that you thought maybe you'd want to do that all of a sudden you don't want to anymore. God is able to do those things in our lives. So what's the matter? Why do we need to change? What's so important about all this change and all this stuff? You know, it's been fine for as long as we can remember, right? And we get in that mindset, you know, why do we want to change stuff? It's always been this way. And I like to say, maybe it's not always been right. You're saying you've got some kind of new way? No. But I'm saying when we begin to open up and allow God into our lives and not just do the same thing and be comfortable where we're at, and we start stepping outside of our comfort zone, things begin to change. Things begin to grow and things begin to be different. In Ephesians 5:25, this is instructions for husbands and how to treat their wives. But God gave us a perfect example here of why this change is so important. In Ephesians 5:25, He says, "Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." He gave us a perfect example here of why this change is important, because as we change, we're to become more Christ-like. And as He's instructing the husbands here to love their wives as Christ loved the church, He said, you know, and He gave Himself for it. When we begin to give ourselves for God and to give ourselves for the glory of Him, to allow Him to work through us, you know, He loved us. Because God loved the world so much that He was willing to give His Son to die on the cross for our sin. You know, the change is important because that God loved us so much and was willing to do that, that He's wanting us to be in His image. He wants us, this is instruction to husbands and wives, but He wants us to love others. He wants us to care of others. He wants us to give of ourselves. So He gave Himself. He loved the church and He gave Himself for it. He gave Himself so that it might grow, so that it might get better, so that it might continue to be made in His image. Tony said that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the Word. As Christians, we're sanctified and set apart. We're made different than the world. We don't look like the world. We shouldn't live like the world and act like the world. Everything ought to be different about us. There ought to be something that's different. Everywhere Jesus went, people were drawn to Him. He didn't have to announce that He was coming. He didn't have to tell people what was going on. He didn't have to put it on the billboard that He's going to be in town this week and everybody ought to come out and hear the message. But He lived His life in such a way that He was so different from everybody else that people flocked to Him. People saw that difference. They saw that there was something about Him. They saw that there was something about Him that wasn't like anybody else. And they were drawn to Him. As we continue to be set apart and to continue to be different, made more and more like Christ, people will begin to see that there's something different about you. They'll start listening to what you have to say. They'll start listening and watching the way that you live your life. And they'll see that there's something different. And people get curious about different. They start wondering about different. They start getting real curious about different things. And it piques their interest. And it opens up the perfect opportunity to share the gospel with other people. It opens up a perfect opportunity to tell people about why it is I am different. Why it is that I don't act like I used to act. I don't live like I used to live because I'm growing and I'm changing. Yeah, my body's getting older. And yes, it's physically changing. As we grow and get older, our bodies, they change and they're different. And, you know, we have different things take place. And if we didn't, we would be concerned about it. But, you know, our hair color may change. We may start having wrinkles. We may have aches that we never did have when we were 5, 6, 7 years old. Things happen, and we notice these signs as growth. And in our spiritual life, people should notice signs of growth. We should be able to look at our own lives and see signs of growth and signs of change and signs that things are different in our own lives. He commands them to, basically commands the husbands to love their wives because he gave himself for the church, but that he might sanctify, that he might set it apart. He's made it something special. He's made you and I something special and something different. That he would cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, and that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. The most important reason we need to be continually growing and continually changing in Christ so that He can present us to Himself. Amen. He's changing the church so that He might be able to present it to Himself, so that He might be able to give it to Himself without spot or blemish or wrinkle. It's made perfect through Him. And that's the only way. Our whole motivation for being able to change and grow is because of God's love for us and because of our love for others and our love for Him, that we would continue to desire to change and grow and become something that He would have us to be and to become made more in His image. 1 Peter chapter 1, I think around verse 16, it tells us this, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." He tells us how to live our lives, that we're to be holy because He is holy. We're to be more like Him. And to live more like Him and to look more like Him so that He's able to present us to Himself. Why is it so important that we change? Because we end up looking more and more like Christ. Because one of these days we're going to stand before a holy God. If we've received Christ as our Savior and that blood has been applied to your life, you'll stand before a holy God. And if we've been made in His image, He doesn't expect to see something. He doesn't expect to see us living completely opposite from Him. He expects us to be mimicking Him, to live like Him, to look like Him, to talk like Him, to act like Him. Well, that sounds like, I don't know if I want to change and do that. The thing of it is, as I was saying, as I look back and watch you guys sing, I don't think you set out this morning to look and act a certain way, and you didn't think, I'm going to sit and do this in church and this and this. You don't necessarily plan it out. But as you sang, you were singing for Him. That's looking like Him. That's acting like Him. Our actions will come out as we're changing and serving and living for Him. Those actions will come out of us without us ever having to even think about it. Before you were saved, you lived your life in such a way that you didn't have to think about the stuff you did. You just did it. Good, bad, or undecided, we just done it. But as our mindset changes and as we continue to serve and live for Christ, we start doing stuff for Him and we don't have to think about it. It's not a forced effort. It's not a scripted lifestyle. It's a changed life. That serving and living for God out of our love for Him because He first loved us. Because He cared so much about us and was willing to do that. He says, "I'll fill this house with glory." Don't you worry about how you're going to make things right. Don't you worry about how you're going to change your life and how things are going to be. He says, "I'll fill you with glory. I'll make it different. I will make you into what you will be." And we get so concerned about that, so many times and so worried about how am I going to make it look that way. But he continues on as they were continue working on this house and or on this temple. In verse 9, he said, "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." The glory of the latter house is going to be greater than the former. See, these people were looking at the physical. They were looking at Solomon's temple and how great and magnificent and wonderful it was and how huge it was and all these things. And God had commanded them before to just go and to get some wood and begin building on this thing. He told them to go get this wood and start building this temple. But he tells them, the glory of the latter house shall be greater than that of the former. He's going to take us and He's going to use us for His glory. And for that, what we think we're not able to do, He's going to say, you know what, I'm making you better than what you were before. I'm going to receive the glory from it. I'm going to receive the praise and the honor from it. I'll do something with you that you never thought you could be. You know, as we continue to change, as we continue to grow in Him and to draw closer to Him, He said, I'm going to take you and make you something that you never thought you would ever be. He can't present us to Himself with all the sin in our life and all the stuff in our life. That's what Christ is for. That was the whole point, was to save us and to cleanse us from our sin. And He said, you know, the glory of this latter house, it'll be greater. Sometimes change is good. Sometimes change in our own personal life, our own personal walk with Christ, is a good thing. We can sit and get so stuck on things and get so hung up on, you know, well, this is the way I've always understood it. This is the way I always thought it was. And I'll tell you, I've learned in my, you know, compared to some, I would say, I've been a Christian a shorter time, 16, 17 years. Some of you have been saved a lot longer. But throughout that time, I don't understand things the way I did the first year I was saved. Because through my studies and through understanding God's Word and listening to teaching and preaching and studying out, I've grown and changed. It looks different now than I did 15 years ago. I think differently now. Change is good. It's not necessarily a bad thing. You know, if we continue to do the work, God will bless it. If we continue to dive into His Word and to study and allow Him to work in our lives, and allow Him to move through us, God will bless that work and God will take that and use it for His glory. He said, you know, this glory, this latter is going to be greater than of the former. And in this place will I give peace. The only place we're ever going to find peace is in Jesus Christ. You can go out and find all the materials you think you need to make your life right. You can go out and find all the stuff in the world and you can buy all the stuff in the world you want to try to patch your life together and make things right and think, you know, this is going to make me happy or this will make me live better or this will help me to act right or to live right or to talk right or whatever the problem might be. You can get everything you want to. You can pile it up and use it from now till the day you die. But unless you have Christ in your life, unless God is the one that's doing the changing in your life, that house will never stand. This body that we have, this temple that we have will never stand without Christ. And yeah, we begin to look at that and we try to do it on our own, but God says, I'll give peace. I'll provide peace in this temple. I'll take care of it. The people were so worried about how this temple was going to look and what it was going to be. And God said, the gold and the silver, said, that's all mine. They were worried because Solomon had this other temple adorned so great. God said, don't worry about that stuff. I own it anyhow. That wasn't Solomon's. That was mine. I own that. Don't give me back what I've already got. I want you. And we get so worried about the material and the physical, and we don't allow Him to work through our lives. We're so caught up on the method. And I saw a quote this week, and I don't know who said it or where I even got it from, but it said that we need a generation who worships the Lord and not the method. We're so wrapped up in just going to church and singing the song, and say the prayer, and go through the motion, and go home, and come back the next time, and do it all again. Somebody better have a good song to sing next Sunday. I like hearing good songs. Somebody, you know, that preacher, you better have a good sermon. Because I need something that'll get me through till I come back Wednesday. And that lesson Wednesday, I hope that teacher studied real good because, well, I may have a question or two and I need that to push me on through till Sunday. And we get so caught up in the method. And it becomes so robotic and just such an automatic response that we almost worship the method more than we do the Lord. And we need a generation. We need people. We need Christians that worship the Lord more than worshiping the method. So what are we doing this morning? Are we embracing that change? Are we taking hold of that change and taking hold of allowing God to work and change in our lives? Maybe you're sitting there saying, you want, I've tried to do it so much on my own. Why have you asked God? Have you asked God to bless your house, to bless your life? Have we went to God and asked Him to be able to do it? These people were building this temple and kind of doing it on their own. But He said, you know what? I'm the one. I'm going to shake the nations. I'm going to bring all this down. The desire of all nations shall come and I will bring glory in this place. I'll fill this house with glory. He tells me, He said, you know, I'm going to be the one that's going to give this place peace. I'm the one that's going to change it all. And I'm the one that's going to take care of it all. They were worried about doing it on their own. He said, this latter house is going to be greater than the first. But I'm going to do it. Guys, we can't do it on our own. We'll never make it trying to do it on our own. We'll never make it trying to do it by ourselves. God said, you've got to let me in. You've got to let me in. I'll bring peace. You let me in, I'll bring glory. But you've got to be willing to make that change this morning. As we get a song of invitation this morning, what have you been doing in your life to draw closer to God? Have you been willing to open up to that change? Have you been willing to open up and allow God to move in your life and to take hold of your life and to make it more like Him? Are we allowing Him to make us more and more in His image? Or are we worried about trying to fix it on our own? Maybe it doesn't look like the idea life that you had hoped for. Doesn't look like the idea way of living that you had hoped, or the idea of way of coming and receiving Christ that you had hoped. Which, Chad, I never thought I'd been in this situation I'm in this morning. Never thought I'd be living my life this way. I don't want to come to God like this. There's such a mess and there's so much going on right now. I can't bring this to Him. I need to fix it first. No. You bring it to Him and He'll fix it. You come before Him and He'll take care of it. Maybe you're building up a temple that it's fallen down. You can't figure out how to hold it together and to keep it there. I'm going to ask everyone to bow your heads for just a moment. No one looking around. Maybe you're here and you're struggling this morning. You say, you know what, Chad? I just don't know. I'm trying to hold this together and I can't do it. I'm trying to put my life together and it seems like every new piece I put in, it just crumbles a little bit more. I've never received Christ as my Savior. I've never asked Him to come into my life. I've never done that because I thought I could do it on my own. If that's you this morning, would you just lift up your hand and say, you know what, pray for me. With no one looking around, would you just lift a hand and say, you know what, I've tried to do it on my own so much and I just need you to pray for me because I'm struggling. Would there be one? Maybe you're here this morning and you say, you know, I'm kind of happy with way things were. I've got comfortable. Yeah, I know the stories from the Bible. And I've heard them from my childhood on up. But you know, I've been scared to dive in deeper. I've been afraid to really get into God's Word because I don't know where it'll take me or what'll happen. But I know I need to. I know I need to get into His Word more. I know I need to study and understand a little more. I know I need to allow God to change me and to grow me. If that's you this morning, would you just lift up your hands and say, you want to just pray for me? Bless those hands. Bless them. Any others? Say, you know what? I know where I need to be. I know what I need to be doing. Maybe I'm not quite there yet. But I'm ready to make that change. We're going to stand and have a song here in just a minute. And if that was you, if you were able to raise your hand this morning, I invite you to come up here and pray. No, you're not going to fix the house on your own. You're not going to fix your life on your own. But there's a guy here named Jesus Christ that He'll meet you and He'll take care of it for you. If you're here, maybe you weren't able to raise your hand. You didn't lift your hand up for whatever reason. The altar's still open to you. Just because you didn't lift your hand doesn't mean that you're not allowed to come forward and pray. Just because you didn't lift it up doesn't mean that you know, well, God, I didn't lift my hand up. Does that mean I'm not picked? No. He wants you to come this morning. As we stand and sing, would you come?